Professor Nick Wilson, it's coming up to a year since Cyclone Gabrielle struck this country, becoming the most costly weather-related disaster in our history. The ongoing disruption to lives and livelihoods shows the need for more government investment in resilient infrastructure and support for managed retreat for those in vulnerable areas. Now, Nick Wilson is from the University of Otago. He lays out some of the impacts of Gabrielle in the briefing, The Long Shadow of Cyclone Gabrielle, a brief review at 12 months. And he's kindly with us to reflect on where we are, what we've learnt. Nick, tēnā koe, thank you for joining us. My name's Dale Husband, and I really appreciate you spending some time with us today, Nick. A warm welcome.
Kia ora, Dale.
Tēnā koe, Nick. Well, it's right that we review not just what happened, how we reacted, how we have prepared for a similar situation, which many believe is not a matter of if, but a matter of when. Set the stage for our conversation, if you'd be so kind, please, Nick.
Sure. So we did this review on the long shadow of Cyclone Gabriel to really look at its longer-term impacts, because we know a lot about its immediate impacts, which were very large, this being really the largest weather-related disaster New Zealand's ever had. And the key areas of impact are the ongoing disruption to people's lives and the stress from all the housing damage, with, you know, over 2,400 yellow-stickered houses still. So those are places needing repairs before people can live in them again. So that's a big impact on people's lives. But there's also the ongoing disruption to lives from the ongoing infrastructure damage, you know, roads still damaged, bridges yet to be repaired and replaced. And then there's the ongoing economic impacts. So there's the traffic disruption, there's damaged farmland still covered in silt, especially in Hawke's Bay, and closed tourism sites as well. So all that adds up to ongoing impact that's pretty large, and that is why we're really calling for the government to have an inquiry into the impacts and to see how what we can learn. This is a real learning opportunity for this disaster that's cost over $14 billion, and to really learn the lessons for making our infrastructure more resilient, and how to support things like managed retreat from for people living in very vulnerable areas, vulnerable to floods and slips and also sea level rise.
So the cost associated with something like managed retreat could be directly associated with the event, even though it could be some time later. Many of the areas that were hit, not all of course, were Māori communities, many small, rural, proud, and of course they weather the storm, so to speak, and then try to recuperate and do all the work needed to be done. But it's a very long tail, isn't it? And so when you look at the ongoing issues, that $14.5 billion could in fact climb. What would you say of our attention to fixing roads, etc., but perhaps some of them seen as short-term fixes? And I do note that we've seen repaired roading break up, temporary causeways getting washed away after only 25 days. So, I mean, it's really difficult turf. We still haven't cleaned up yet, have we?
That's right. And when repairs get washed away, that really shows we're not paying enough attention to rebuilding in a quality way and having strong infrastructure. And you're absolutely right. The impact of this cyclone hit Maori communities extra hard on the East Coast and places like Wairoa. And so any government inquiry really needs to focus on the impact on Maori and also on the very positive role that Marae played in the emergency response. And I think that really needs to be recognised. And we need to think of ways, how can Marae be supported by their communities and also potentially by local and central government? Because It's just we're seeing in disaster after disaster that marae really play such an important role, and for the whole community, not just iwi members. So we've got, you know, inbuilt resilience in Māoridom and Māori structures, and we, you know, that is a great feature of our emergency response. So we need to learn more about that and strengthen it.
It's difficult because we're being spoken to from Wellington as a need to tighten our belts. It appears that a similar event is forthcoming. We just don't know quite when. So there's enormous money needed to be spent to protect communities, but perhaps we don't have that money available. What are some of the upshots if we don't spend it, though?
That's right. This is money very well spent building resiliency, because many of these things are good to do anyway, to have better housing, for example, and to have stronger infrastructure. You know, it's not just roads, but, you know, for example, the railway between Wairoa and Napier may never be rebuilt now. So that's, you know, we could be going backwards in some types of infrastructure. But really, you know, central government needs to realise that under-invested in supporting local communities, and there's still all these problems with laws that allow councils to put up new housing on flood-prone areas, which is a really crazy thing to be doing now. I mean, we should be building on very safe areas and not allowing cyclones to wreak such havoc on our housing infrastructure.
Tēnā koe, and look, I appreciate the mahi you've been putting in here, Nick. Who is this piece directed at? Who are you working with in government to try to get some traction here? The long shadow of Cyclone Gabrielle, a brief review at 12 months. Where's it heading?
Well, we're trying to get policymakers to think about this. I mean, the government runs inquiries into all manners of disasters. You know, nearly every disaster that has killed 20 or more people since World War II has had an inquiry. And although Cyclone Gabrielle killed 11 people, it's had such a massive impact on people's lives and this huge $14 billion cost. So we're arguing that policymakers really need to have a proper national inquiry and to really look at these infrastructure issues and the managed retreat issue as well.
Well, it's certainly food for thought for both politicians and for community leaders, and the latter really need to be cognizant of some of these issues that are raised in this review. Everyone just scrambled to try and clean up and get back to some sense of normality, but we do need to plan for future events. How important that this information is available, not just to Wellington, but also to the communities that have been affected, Nick.
That's right. It's a matter of leaders at the local government level. Iwi leaders can put pressure on government to look at these issues. Everyone involved in planning and housing and infrastructure needs to be smarter about the risk of these future cyclones, which just seem to be increasing with climate change. And climate change itself seems to be accelerating. So we really need to focus on these and just avoid this endless catch-up game where we're just constantly recovering from disaster after disaster. We need to really plan ahead so we've got a lot more resilience in the whole system. And we see the problems of resilience really everywhere, you know, with the Cook Strait ferries with, for example, Wellington leaking half its water. We're way, way behind in having sort of basic infrastructure working well.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for sharing some time with us today, Nick, and appreciate all the mahi you've been doing in this space. Mauri ori kia koe, tēnā koe. Thank you, Nick.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. That's Professor Nick Kaurau.